And Paul is standing here. And he says, I consider myself fortunate that it's before you, King Agrippa. I don't know what that says about Festus or Felix or Jewish leaders, but King Agrippa, I'm glad it's you. Especially because you're familiar with the customs and the controversies of the Jews. Agrippa, your wife Bernice, you guys know this stuff. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. And then that's what I started the sermon with, wasn't it? I beg you, listen to me patiently. Verse 4 is Paul's testimony in, where are we? Chapter 26? Yeah. My manner of life from my youth, this is the history of Paul, spent from the beginning among my own nation in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they're willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee, and now stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made to God and to our fathers, made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused of the king. I am accused of the Jews, O king. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible to any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities, Damascus. In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. That's Paul's history. Now look at his conversion event, said to King Agrippa. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, and to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The conversion experience of Saul. He doesn't always tell the whole story, does he? But you get different slices of it to different people. But in the collection of the stories told in the Bible, you see a more and more clear picture of what happened to Saul, who heard from God, who told him, you are going to go and turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, people, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Would that change your life if God said that to you? Has God made that message clear to you and changed your life? What is your conversion experience compared to the time before, what you used to be like? And what made you stop and go, whew, this is real, so that everything changed that day? After this conversion event, you have the life that Paul lived after conversion. Look at verse 19 of chapter 26. Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and also to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with repentance. That's it. That's his testimony to what his life's been like since he was converted. Look at people's reaction in verse 21. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. And his testimony to the faithfulness of God in his life in verse 22. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying to both small and great. I wonder who is in the room with King Agrippa and Festus that tends to the needs of a king when visiting and a governor when in residence hosting a king. I imagine there's an entourage, don't you? I hope he wasn't just slighting Festus. If it was two people in the room and he says to King Agrippa, both small, that'd be you, Festus, and great, that'd be you, King Agrippa. I don't think that there's any need to insult people like that. I imagine a room, but he's speaking to everybody. And when you speak and you're speaking to the one person, someone here is listening. Your testimony tells more people. I had someone talking to me about my presence in community council. And they said, David, you know what? The witness of the church is not the stuff on the Sunday scroom walls. That's bonus. When people get bored with us and they read it, it's good. The witness to the church is the hosting and the caring. And when stuff foments, bringing peace, pouring oil on the water to settle the surface of it. And I wasn't looking for a pat on the back. And this is something that somebody had to say about that. And it's something that many people would say about you. When you're there, it's different. And if you speak up, it brings what you bring. Your testimony affects more people than the one that you think you might be talking to. Testifying to both small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, verse 23, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. And then here's people's reaction again. Look at verse 24. As he was saying these things in his defense, apologia in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. That's his reaction to rise from the dead, proclaim light to both the Jews and the Gentiles. You're nuts. Nobody comes back. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus. Proof again that he's not insulting his host. But I'm speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and I speak to him boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. And now, Paul's invitation to his audience. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And King Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, but for these chains. Except for these chains. I don't want to be here. And then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. When they had withdrawn, they said to one another, this man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. And that's the end of the story. And that's the end of Paul's testimony. And that's the end of the things that Paul is doing in front of people. It actually isn't the last time you'll hear his testimony, because he's going to say something to people in Rome when he gets there. In fact, he's written an entire letter to the people in Rome that you find in the New Testament. It's called Romans. In Acts chapter 19, verse 21, we heard, now after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So back in verse chapter 19, I must also see Rome. Do you remember that we opened up with Jesus' words, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Paul, in Acts 23, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." Paul knows where he's going. Paul knows that there is no case against him, but he will not go backwards, and he's going forwards. And he's appealed to Rome, which is a life or death situation, whether Caesar will capriciously say, "I don't have time for it, kill him," or go, "Good point you have, no one should treat you that way, you're a Roman citizen, I stand for you." Paul knows that there is no case against him, but he will not go backwards, and he's going forwards. And we know that this is spoken by a man who will, in fact, lay down his life. In Romans chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, "I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Paul is getting to Rome. And he has just shared his testimony. He shared it in a medium version, and then he shared it in a short version that got interrupted. And then here in front of King Agrippa, it's been slightly a bit longer because he has an audience and time and has collected his thoughts, and he's given greater detail. And that's what you see in the scripture as you reflect on what God is doing in the life of this believer, Paul. And that's the end of the sermon. I don't have more to add. I want to give you homework. Here's your homework. So you've heard it three times, and you've been very patient with me. You're patient with Paul. You're patient with the Holy Spirit's inspired words through the mouth of Paul and the pen of Luke to tell you how a Christian shares their testimony. Three times, three different audiences, three different ways, three different degrees of detail. Your homework, church, is to go home and consider your testimony. Consider your short history of what was it like before? What were you like? The conversion experience. What was it like when you made a decision on a day? What happened to you that made you say, "I must respond to this"? And their life lived since. How would you describe that? Now, what would you share if you had an audience? You know, the church says, "Hey, brother, would you come and speak to us? We have a fellowship that they do bacon rolls. We'd love to hear what happened in your life," right? Or what would you make sure that you shared before you got interrupted in some kind of circumstance where you're sharing and it's a little bit touch and go? And so what would you share about who you are and get the job done in case you get interrupted, right? What if you shared your testimony in a lift? I don't know, there's really not that many tall buildings that we end up in. But if you imagine the amount of time that you have and someone's asking you, "Hey, I gotta go, but what was that about?" And what would you say if it was short? You know, Paul did it in verse 14 and 15 of one of those chapters we heard this morning. What needs to be said about Jesus as he has worked in your life? That's your homework. So you forgive me for giving homework. There's another little bit of homework. I would like you to read chapter 27 about the shipwreck, because I'd like to continue next week in chapter 28. Chapter 27 is fantastic. I could teach you stuff about stuff in chapter 27 in a shipwreck. He gets bit by a snake, wipes the snake off, doesn't die. Then you get to keep Mark chapter 16 in your gospel that many of your Bibles say, "We're not so sure this belongs in here," but it does say, you know, snake's poison and you will not die and Paul does not die and it happens in Acts, oh boy, right? But read chapter 27 and come here knowing the background story of the shipwreck, and now here's what's happening in Malta in chapter 28. So figure out your testimony. Give it a real thought. If you show up next week and I say, "Hey, who all did their testimony?" You don't have to be terrified that we're going to turn on the mic and ask you to come up and read it. But you don't want to be pressured into lying and going, "Yeah, no, I did that. I did that. I wish I did that. Did you just ask me if I did that?" You know, think about your testimony. It matters. And that is the end of the sermon. And next week, God willing, we'll finish the book of Acts. Lord, thank you for your testimony, your patient testimony throughout the years of Christian witness over 2,000 of them. And the years of your patience with the Jewish nation from Abraham until Jesus, that the gospel tells us is 14 generations, however long that is, from the Bronze Age to the modern era, year zero. Lord, for your patience from Adam to Abraham, whom the Gospels tell us is 14 generations. But the scientists tell us, Lord, it was so much more than that. Billions and billions and billions. And so do we hold to your word in the face of speculation about things that we can't know? And when we hear about Paul's testimony, God, are we hearing the truth? And is Jesus risen from the dead? Is it true? And for all of us here in this room, for everyone here in this room who is convicted about their need to be a different person, I just pray for that person sitting here in here today who said, if I had to write it, I don't know what my conversion experience is. I pray for that person to have a conversion experience now and to respond to the message that there is forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name. And for the person who knows that to be true now, who never said, I repent of my sin. I need forgiven in Jesus' name. And God, forgive me, I've never asked formally. I pray, God, that we all here would agree and we would ask now, whether it is renewal and affirmation or the first time, say, God, you're right. I'm a sinner. And thank you that there's forgiveness in Jesus' name. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe you offer forgiveness in his name. God, please forgive me, a sinner. Help everyone here who's able to agree with that prayer. If that prayer has been prayed by you in agreement with the minister up at the front today, I would ask you to be so courageous as to identify yourself as a person who prayed that prayer today. Never did before. I agree with you about it. I pray it now. Make yourself known. Paul went around all of Jerusalem and Judea getting beat up and spat on because of it. No one in here is going to treat you poorly if you acknowledge that today you agree with that prayer for the first time. Make yourself known. Disclose yourself to anyone, not necessarily the minister, anyone. Turn and say, this was that day. And don't miss it. And what a wonderful day if a testimony could be established and transformation anchored today on the 10th of February, 2019. And God, we trust you with our lives as you unfold what will happen in the rest of this week. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time.